over to David with an update on what's happened with Barkindo and the Omni collapse.
Well, I presume some of you used to work either for Omni or Barkey Derwen, and that group of companies around Derwen, based in Cardiff. Barkid, well-known facilities OB, very successful in the lifetime of S4C. During the course of the last 2 years, it became evident that there were serious cash flow problems for freelancers working either to Omni or to Barkid Derwen. Those are the calls that I started to get about 18 months ago. And I think over the 12 months subsequent to that, I spoke to the company several times and said, what's happening? I was given an honest appraisal by the company, by the chief executive, that they had serious cash flow problems, that the tax man was chasing them, and they bought the farm being in Ireland. And I think some people thought it was a farm, but it wasn't. It was the post-production facilities house in the Republic of Ireland. And they absolutely burnt their fingers, because when they bought it, they found that the company was worth nothing, and they lost a substantial sum of money. They then also wanted to go into the digital market, and they wanted to build a new digital state-of-the-art truck. They couldn't raise the finances through bank loans, or rather they had to raise it through bank loans, and they had to subsidize that, and the cost of repaying the building of the truck, which had to be done in Holland. All of these things were contributing. It's fair to say that I was representing on a regular basis between 12 and 18 people, who some of them cameramen were working once or twice, finding difficulty in being paid, coming to me, and I was getting them paid, and then they simply wouldn't work for them again, because it was almost a one hit. Once you'd burnt your fingers once, got your money, thought, well, I'm lucky, so, you know, I'll not work for you again unless you pay me for cash. But there were others, like riggers, that were having fairly regular spells of work with the company that were really in a bind, that they were earning as much as £3,000 to £5,000 a month. And how were you going to turn that down but simply because you chase in the invoice for last month? That sort of dynamic was set up. However, we had a system by which when any member told me they wanted to move from me simply asking the company and writing to the company that if they were in serious financial difficulty, I contacted the company and said, this bill, this invoice must be paid. And invariably it was paid, that when the union intervened, the bill was paid. What would happen then, either the camera operator wouldn't go to work for them again, or they did, and it was several months later, it would, you know, follow on. But with the riggers, it was a constantly revolving wheel, as it were. That continued up until the early part of this year, when it became evident that even that system was beginning to fall down. Things came to a head in June of this year when it became evident that they'd brought in the administrators, Grant Thornton, to actually administer the company, and it became evident that what the directors were trying to do was to sell off what they considered to be packages. This was the job Grant Thornton was asked to do. There was an attempt to sell off Omni. There was an attempt to sell off as a separate identity, Barkid, with its studio up in North Wales. And there was an attempt to sell off the post-production facility, a house which was based around Derwen, but involved a company in Bristol, one in Birmingham and one in Scotland as well. And when it suddenly became apparent that there was very little likelihood of being paid, some of you might have received an email from me asking you to identify yourselves to me. And I was absolutely staggered. I've got on my books nearly 70 people involved in OB facilities that are owed between them probably £330,000. Some people are owed £18,000 and they ain't gonna get it. Now, you've got to ask yourself, these are members now, how on earth you could subsidise a company to that extent? You just can't afford to do it. The risk is too high. And the real shame of it was that at a time when these members weren't telling me but were carrying this debt on behalf of the company, were going to lose it just because, and I was getting other people paid. because I had the influence at that time and they still had the money. It was a disaster. Freelancers became very angry, and the first thing that happened is that they closed the doors on Barkid. People that had been there since 1981 with the start of the company, they had a really going concern. Barkid, good studio, a great facility, suddenly 2 years ago was remortgaged without any reference to shareholders or anything. So the company had been milked, completely milked, okay? So we've got job losses of all the staff at Barkid. We've got job losses of the old staff at Omni and in the Derwen post-production house and the companies in Bristol, Birmingham and Scotland. The company can do this. They're in administration. The difficulty for them was that when freelancers found out that there was an attempt to float off certain parts of this company, and certainly, if I could put it this way, the parts that were very that were post-production for Derwen, it really, freelancers felt very aggrieved, because they believed that the managing director, chief executive of the group, who owned Derwen, was simply looking after his own little part of the empire. And people made representations of the Welsh Assembly government and to all interested parties saying how outraged they were. The net result has been, though, that that the post-production facility company has gone, is into administration, is unlikely to survive, but number of the companies, and I'm trying, and forgive me, I'm struggling to think of the post-production company in Bristol.
422,
because I'm representing a member here for money owed by 422 now, so I'm having interesting conversations, okay? In terms of Omni, let me come back to SIS for a minute. What Omni were trying to do was to put in a counter bid to buy Omni and its facilities, if you like, the physical eminences of Omni, but the most important one being the post-production HD truck.
Was that internally as a management buy from the...
From Omni, yeah, but not from the group, but from Tony Callan, that was the old managing director, managing director, the operations manager. He was attempting to buy it as a going concern with the view of keeping the truck in Wales and simply carrying on. You can see how difficult that is. It is extremely difficult to explain to people who are owed £18,000, yeah, why the same office exists with the same personnel and yet you can't get your money. You can imagine how exciting that conversation has been, you know. It is a very difficult concept, but it is a fact. It's the law. The difficulty is that they tried to buy it as a going concern, but I understand that SIS simply wanted to buy the truck. And the fact that you had two competing bidders, if you like, caused problems to Omni being able to buy it as a going concern. So consequently, what it ended up with is that Omni did a deal, that's my phrase for it, Omni reached an agreement with NEP Visions from London, that they would buy the company in effect. So NEP Visions now own NEP Visions Cymru. The difficulty is that Tony Callan, who has been identified with all of the financial, not irregularities, but with the financial difficulties of the old company, because many of you know your relationship is not with the title stuck on the wall outside. Your relationship is with the head of the company that tells you, oh, you'll be all right, you know, we'll give you this work and don't worry about the money. Well, that's an extremely difficult position for any individual to be in. But the fact is that we've taken the opportunity of recognising how limited our options are in getting our members' money, and I'm sitting down and talking to NEP Cymru and saying to them, this can't continue in this way. And that's why I made the reference earlier to saying to NEP Cymru, which is NEP Visions and has NEP Visions managers on the board, that we need to have a different approach to contracting OB crews in Wales, and that it must be based on my right to represent crews, to explain to them and seek agreement with them on the length of the day, the equipment that's required and the rate. And that's proceeding. We built in a system whereby I expected to be told each month how many freelancers had worked for them and how many freelancers had been paid. The very first meeting, I was given a sheet and I was assured the payment period was 20 days. I walked out of the office into the back part of the studio in ITV in Culver House Cross. I met the Barkid crew who were working for them as freelancers, and I just took four or five names of the ones I knew and said, have you been paid? No. So it was evident there were major problems.
And that is still going on, actually, with anything.
No, it shouldn't be now.
No, I know it is.
Well, you know different to me, yeah. And I'm very, very close to it, because I send out emails to everybody. I've got a second list given to me last Thursday where they are showing me a list of names with people that have been paid and the number of days by which they paid. You know different. Tell you who you get that information, or to contact me. Okay. Not to contact you, contact me. Because I'm the guy that can solve it. And I make no apology for taking that line. Because what I'm fed up of, right, if we don't start to get together and speak to each other, you will walk into another 18 grand. That is not acceptable. I do not believe that one of you should be subsidising any of these companies at all. It is hard enough to make a living today, and I'm not going to bloody lecture you, but I will. It's hard enough to make a living today and wait 30 days. To wait 3 months, to wait 18 months is not acceptable. You do not have to put up with that, but the worry for you is, if I make a fuss, I'm not going to work for them. Well, you can get plenty of work if you're going to work for fuck all. Is this on? That's the whole point, man.
Yes, it is, David.
Yeah.
The only point I would make, just one comment, just with regards to Omni. Omni, yep, was always the most profitable part of the Barker Derwent Group.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Collan is a consummate wheeler dealer, but he had no say in how payments are made, and whoever was contracted by Omni always invoiced the Derwent part, yep, of the group. And that's where it all went pitong. And, you know, payments were always late. Certainly, since it's become NEP Cymru, it has been better, but payments are still taking up to 60 days, to my own personal knowledge.
Okay. Well, we know what we're going to do about that, don't we? Yeah, you're going to give me those. I don't want them off you. Yeah. I want that freelancer to contact me, whoever he is, right?
Okay.
Because there's no reason. There's no reason for it. That's what I'm telling you. This company knows the difficulty it's in. This company knows, because the interesting thing that I've started to develop about OBs is that you all know each other. Broadly speaking, the same OB crews work around the country. I tried to get hold of some of these Barkid blokes last week to confirm that they'd been paid. Fucking end up having my phone answered in Delhi. Right? Oh, I can't bloody talk to you now. I'm working out in the games. You know what I mean now? What I'm saying is this. It is often very difficult to represent members with all the problems we discuss. What's the rate? And you know that they play games. If you are owed money, give me a chance at getting it. That's all I ask you. We have a very good track record on getting that money. I was appalled, absolutely appalled, that members of this union, knowing me, and I don't think there's any bugger in Wales that doesn't know me, or in this part of the country either, wouldn't come to me because they're owed £11,000. I know these guys. I've bloody lived with them. Do not do it. If it comes to NEP, let me tell you now, whether it's NEP Cymru or NEP London, these people know that they depend on you. If I walked in there now and asked Tony Collan to stand on his head, I'm pretty sure he'd have a go at it, because he needs you. That's what it's about. And do you know why he needs me? Because I'm telling you, you work for NEP and you get any trouble, I'll sort it. That's what it's about now. We cannot do anything about the money's owed. That's not NEP's fault. It's not my fault. It's the law of the country in the United Kingdom when it comes to administration. And the one difference I'd have with you about Tony Khalan, and I'd never met Tony Khalan before I had to get engaged in this. What Tony's crime was, and I put it to him across the table in front of NEP, was not that he couldn't pay them. It's true, he never had the influence. But he continued to engage people that were arguably friends of his, on the understanding that if he knew he couldn't pay them, he should have told them. He should have not engaged them. It was a breach of personal trust. That's what I believe his crime was. I think he had an answer, because nobody in Derwent could see anybody paid either, because the whole group had been tied into this. They were paying more money to the Treasury every month. I'm surprised we got any bloody cuts. The whole... It was a bit of a joke, boys. So what's it all about? I believe now, out of a mess, out of an unholy mess in Wales, I believe I got a good foot in the door with NEP Visions Cymru. I believe that extends as well to NEP London. There's only one reason for it, is to make that operation work in Wales, they need freelancers to work for them. If freelancers are asked to work for them alone, they're not interested. But by me saying to them, if you get a problem, come to me, they'll get crew to work for them. We need a period of time where people can build up confidence in NEP Cymru, NEP Visions, and by then we hope that we'll have some real meaningful discussion on the length of the day and what that means. And let me tell you now, I don't expect to come here next year and tell you, well, we got the length of the day, because you know what the problem with those negotiations are, as well as I do, as well as they do. Once you nail the day, once you nail the hours, they're shafted, aren't they? Because then they're going to go to their customers, Sky, and how hard are they going to be negotiating? What I'm offering you, what I'm saying we do, any member working for NEP Cymru, any problems, come to me, and if I don't solve it, I'll come to you at the next meeting and tell you why I haven't solved it. But I'm pretty sure, pretty cocky to say, I can't see circumstances that I can't get people paid. Let me tell you that.
Anyway, I think that's just a significant thing, because I've been involved to a little degree with the Obrey Freelancers Network Forum, and certainly the problems that Martin has faced with regards getting any kind of agreements is it is dealing with so many different Obrey facility companies. So it might be a very costly way to get a foot in the door, but it is perhaps a very small glimmer of light to come out of such a huge disaster for a lot of people who work in Obreys. John?
First of all, declaration of interest by brother-in-law, ex-employee. 2020 hindsight is a wonderful asset, and this is a conversation I've had privately with David beforehand a while ago. By being supportive of individual members who didn't come in quantity, David wasn't effectively misled as to the state of the problem. But in spite of that, David, I still think you kept it going too long. The work was there. The freelance work was there. It didn't matter which company did it. The freelance work was there. The staff work, most of them are walking out into other work. There are a few areas, like my brother-in-law, who has got a job now, but he had to go to America.
Mm-hmm.
They are moving up because the work was there. 2020 hindsight, wonderful asset. I'm not going to do it again, and all of that. What I do think is an issue, and I've tried to raise it with you in the past, is that I think the BBC knew what the situation was. It had a duty of care in its contracts, and as well, I think legally it has that duty of care in buying its contracts, and it encouraged people to work for Barker Derwent who weren't going to be paid, and it knew they weren't going to be paid, because it knew the state. Now, there seems to be no way of raising with BBC Wales their
complicity. I rose it with them. I met them. I rose it with them. They don't have a duty of care. They've got a contract with Omni. That's where their duty of care ends.
But they were contracting people who refused to work for Barker Derwent directly.
Directly, but that was only in the last few weeks. That was literally in the last few weeks.
Well, I think... No,
you're absolutely right. It's about a call, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yes, I can be criticised for that. But based on the evidence I had, I'd still make the same decision again. Because out of the 18 people that I serviced, is that wrong? that I served, over the period of time, that's all I thought it was.
Yeah,
they came to me. When I had members coming to me, how was I to understand that some members weren't coming to me? I can't know.
And what you weren't to know is people like security that are on lousy money anyway, night security people that owe 12, 15 K. 12 K, I think is the figure I was quoted by from
I don't know that. I don't know that. Yeah, no.
But
no, but you're absolutely right, because had I been aware of the scale of it, I would never, ever have let, I would have pulled it in before now. So you're absolutely right. I have got no issue with that at all. All I am saying is, based on the evidence of my working day, I was servicing people that were owed money.
Yeah.
I couldn't know about the others. I didn't know about the others.
Yeah.